Let's pray.
Father, we pray that you would lead us as we open your word to some very crucial passages, like a crucial passage about the life of the church and how we relate to one another. Pray that you'd open our hearts to be taught and to teach, and for us to listen to what you have to say to us today. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So last week and this week and next week are kind of a part of a series of talking about what we call questionable things or gray areas within the Christian life. Things that Scripture does not say this is what's right, this is what's wrong, but we have freedom and latitude. In the context here, he's talking about meat and days, and what you eat and what you drink, and what days you celebrate and what days you don't, which were big things in their culture and not necessarily so big in our culture, but the principles spill over into how we handle differences among us. And we're going to talk a little bit about how wide those areas can be. So there are four words that we're looking at here. The first is the word conviction, which we talked about last week. And that is, this is not a call for whatever you believe is fine, that you don't have to have convictions, or you shouldn't have convictions, or you shouldn't be have strong beliefs in things. It's not that at all. He says it's okay to have strong beliefs. It's a good thing. But how do we handle differences between my strong beliefs and your strong beliefs? As long as you realize that mine are right, you know, we're okay. That's the way it works, isn't it? And so we look at that because we live in a society that kind of says, you know, whatever you believe is fine until they find out you don't believe what they believe. And then it's not fine. And I meet with people during this time of year, doing taxes, I meet with people every day of the week, all day long. And we're not talking politics when they come to my desk, but you know, they talk to politics when they come to my desk. And you hear their values, and I'm not there to tell them what to do and what to believe, and I just listen. But boy, it's interesting, the diversity of opinions you hear. And every one of them is right in their own mind, okay? So we're going to talk a little bit about that. So it's not that Paul is not doing this series. He's not talking about not having convictions or not believing anything. Or it's not a call to be wishy-washy, as Charlie Brown would say. So it's good to have convictions. So that's the one we talked about last week. Today we're talking about consideration and edification. And then next week we'll be talking about unification. Conviction, consideration, edification, and unification. So let's start by reading verses 13 to 18 of Romans chapter 14. He says, therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather determine this, not to put an obstacle or stumbling block in a brother's way. I know, and I'm convinced in the Lord Jesus, that nothing is unclean in itself. Nothing is unclean in the Lord Jesus, and that nothing is unclean in itself. I'm sorry, let me read that again. I know, and I'm convinced in the Lord Jesus, that nothing is unclean in itself. But to him who thinks anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. For if because of food your brother is hurt, you are no longer walking according to love. Do not destroy with your food him for whom Christ died. Therefore, do not let what is for you a good thing be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not eating or drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he who is in this way serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved by men. So he's talking here what happens in life when we run into situations like this. He says, therefore, refers back to verse 12, and that is, each one of us will be accountable to God for himself. I will not be held accountable for your beliefs And for your actions, I'm going to be accountable for mine. So we have to give some credence here to say, God is the one who's leading people, and God is the one who's, who will judge people. The Holy Spirit is working in each of our lives. And what I believe is my responsibility, what you believe is not my responsibility. It's your responsibility. So he says, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather determine this. The word judge and determine there are the same Greek word. It's the same Greek word, even though in English we use them differently. It's kritos. And to judge, so I'm not here to judge you, but let me judge myself in this, not to put an obstacle, or a stumbling block in my brother's way. I remember back in high school, I had a friend, his father was blind. And he said, when we have an argument with my father, we just move a piece of furniture. I thought, well, that's not very nice. Well, sometimes we do that as believers. We need to be careful that what I believe and what I'm convinced about does not put a stumbling block in my brother's way. So I have to be careful with what I believe and how I portray that and how I communicate that and how I live that out. We're not talking about things that are sinful, and Scripture is very clear about sinful. And when you think about this, what the temptation would be, if you really follow this, would be that our rules for living go to the lowest common denominator. Do you catch that? So that if one of us doesn't believe we should do this, then all of us should believe that, or all of us should practice that. If one of us doesn't think we should do that, then all of us should practice that, even though it might not. That's not what he's calling for here. In fact, he says just the opposite. I'm convinced that nothing is unclean in itself. So Paul's conviction about, especially about this eating meat and the days and the drinking, he said, I don't see any of it. Yes, I have no trouble going to a dinner at somebody's house and knowing that the meat that they are serving was offered to idols. They offered idols, they put it in the store, and then it's okay to eat it. Some Christians, that'd be hideous. Both are really, the Jews of the old times and some of the newer Christians really came out of paganism. They may look at that and say, I don't want to eat, you know, I'm dedicating my life to Christ. I don't want to eat meat that's been dedicated to an idol. And Paul says, to me, it's not an issue. And he's saying sometimes for him, it becomes an issue because he needs to be careful that he doesn't make a brother stumble. So maybe they go to that meal and nobody says where the meat came from. And it's not an issue, but if somebody makes an issue, this is offered idols, and I'm going to not eat it. Because I know a brother's going to be there, and he's going to have a problem with that. So he's saying, don't flaunt your liberties, and don't flaunt your scruples. We talked yesterday about, last week, about the stronger Christian and the stronger brother or sister and the weaker brother or sister. The stronger one, he says, is the one who has more liberty, and the one who has more scruples and more rules is the one who's the weaker one. We usually think of the opposite directly, the opposite. And this is directed to somebody who has a lot of liberty in the way that they live. And he's saying, be careful that you don't use your liberty to cause people to stumble. Was it Spurgeon who smoked cigars? Yeah. And he had the liberty to smoke cigars until one brother came to him. And he said, down at the cigar store, there's a brand of cigars that says there, these are the cigars that Charles Spurgeon smokes. He said, what am I doing? So then he quit. So he's causing people to stumble. So he says, we need to be careful of how we live. We need to be careful that our actions do not cause a brother to stumble. He said, for if it's because of food, eating that meat, your brother's hurt. You are no longer walking according to love because you're hurting your cousin to stumble in his Christian life. Do not destroy with your food him for whom Christ has died. We need to be very careful that we don't let our decisions and our lifestyle destroy our brother. That hurt means to cause pain, grief, or distress. And the standard is walking in love, not in liberty. Walking in love and not beholden to scruples. So, and there's a give and take here for certain situations where sometimes Paul would have no trouble. Most of the time he had no trouble eating meat. But in some situations where he would come in and he would say, I'm not going to eat meat because it would cause my brother to stumble. He says, don't destroy your brother. You know, this is a step the stronger one must take. It refers to a devastation. Sometimes it's a pettiness that we think, well, I have the freedom to do this. I have the freedom, and we can turn around and we can destroy our brother because of what we think is our right to do. Therefore, do not let what is for you a good thing be spoken of as evil. So you turn what is okay for you, the eating of meat, to really become spoken of as evil and becomes something that is used to destroy God, destroy our testimony. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. We have to put into perspective what is important, what is not important. He said what is important is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. So we have to be careful that we don't destroy our witness. We need to keep away from a Christianity that just is a list of do's and don'ts. God will accept you if you do this and don't do this and do that. That's not a life of grace. And so we need to be careful that that doesn't become our standard. Is being known by what we will do and what we won't do. But he says, put your heart, put on righteousness and peace and joy. And we need to be careful in this whole area of consideration that we can be considerate to our brothers and sisters, that we're careful about what we do, what we don't do, that we're mindful of where they're coming from and what's gone in their life. And I am responsible for what I do, not what they do, but I'm responsible that I do not knowingly put a stumbling block in the way of our brothers and sisters. For he who in this way serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved by men. So we need to be careful that we think through what we're doing. Then we come to edification. So then, we pursue the things made for peace and the building up of one another. It doesn't say we pursue peace. I think there's a difference there. We don't pursue for peace. We pursue the things that make for peace and the building up of one another. We need to be careful that we really go for things that are right and that bring a real edification to our brothers and sisters. When I turned 21, I had the legal right to go in a lot of establishments that had been illegal for me to go into. Does that mean it's okay for me to go there? No, it isn't. Those MA establishments or movies or whatever should be called MD rather than for mature audiences. What's the maturity of the audience that goes in there? It should be for the morally deprived. And we need to be careful that we look at things like that and say, I'm not going to do things that don't build up my brother and sister. He said, pursue the things which make for peace and building up of one another. Do not tear down the work of God for the sake of food. I can destroy a brother's faith by doing the use of the freedom and the liberty that I have, and cause them to stumble, and they just, you know, they just say, you know, is this what life is all about? How come, you know, what? How come he lives that way? So we need to be pursuing the building up. It says, go on to value the work of God. Do not pursue things. Do not tear down the work of God for the sake of fruit. This is reference to a believer. We are masterpieces of God. We are the work of God. We need to protect that. I know people have turned away from the gospel because of what they've seen in other believers. And it's devastating. And we need to be careful that we don't do that. We don't destroy the work of God. There's a contrast here between building up and tearing down. And our edification should be for building up one another. And to keep doing those things that are wholesome and clean and encouraging to people. Verse 19 says, so then we pursue the things which make for peace and the building up of one another. Do not tear down the work of God for the sake of food. All things indeed are clean. This is his conviction. But they're evil for the man who eats and gives offense. That is, it is okay. Paul, it is okay for me to say, for me to do that is okay. And for this brother who looks at the same thing, he can say, for me, it's not okay. Because the Spirit of God is working with us differently, and some of us are background. I talked about use of alcohol last week. I'm a teetotaler. All I drink is iced tea. No, that's not what it means. But, you know, I grew up in a culture around the Native Americans where alcohol was a huge issue. And I can remember going to prayer meetings where they would say, you know, Hustin Nez is starting to drink again. That was the sign that he was backsliding. He was no longer interested in following the Lord. And so I grew up in that culture, and then I got into our culture, and then I read a secular book on alcohol and how destructive it is. I thought, you know, I don't need that in my life. And yet, I'm around people who drink, some. And we've had it in our house because when they've come in as guests, it's been okay. And that's where I say, okay, in that area, I'm the weaker brother because I have more scruples than my stronger brothers and sisters do. And so I've given allowance for that. But I'm the weaker brother, and I just say in my life, I don't need that. But I know there have to be some here of you who drink alcohol. And I have to be careful that I don't judge you, and yet be careful that you don't judge me. So those are some of the things that he's wrestling with here. That we need to be careful that we're building up one another, we're caring for one another. He says, happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves. For he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because his eating is not of faith, and whatever is not of faith is sin. You need to be conviction, firm in your conviction, and then you need to hold it with love and care. Follow your conscience with liberty, follow your conscience happily, and yet, that's the word he used here, happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves. And yet be careful that you don't cause your brothers and sisters to Christ. But he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because eating is not of faith, and whatever is not of faith is sin. That is, be careful about your weaker brother. Don't take your liberties loosely and irresponsibly. But be careful about that. So as I was wrestling with this passage, Paul is talking here about what you eat and what you drink in the days you celebrate. And though be under those convictions are some really strong theological thoughts and bringing you to that conviction. So the one who does not eat is not just a, you know, I don't care for it and I don't think I'll have any today. They have, some of those have a strong conviction that if it's been offered to idols, when I do that, I'm participating in the offering to idols. And so I'm not going to eat that. I used the example last week of there may be a store that features ungodly stuff in their store, and they sell that stuff that presents ungodly lifestyle, and they feature that. And so some people, they want to boycott, you know, you should not go to that store. So am I in trouble if I don't have that conviction? I go to that store. Boycott doesn't work if only one person takes place. Did you know that? A boycott needs to be whole. And so if I go to that store, is my brother or sister going to judge me because I go to that store to get my favorite brand of toothpaste, as opposed to, and I can walk by that and I look at it, or they may look and they may say, that's the biggest thing about, you need to avoid that. So it comes down to very practical things. And then the mind music, and I think, so does it get bigger than that? What about church polity? You know, Paul, everything Paul wrote and said was authoritative from God. Everything I say and write is not authoritative from God. I just want you to know that. So when Paul says such and such and such and such, that's God speaking to us. But as we believers look at that, and we have different ways of seeing it, and we have different ways of interpreting it, do these principles apply to that as well as whether I eat meat or whether I drink alcohol, for example? So do I apply these same principles to how often we have communion? Do I apply these same principles to the way that we do baptism? And going stronger, do I apply these same principles to doctrinal areas? So if I'm with a brother or sister who believes that somebody can lose their salvation, do I apply these same principles to that? I have my conviction. Paul says, have your conviction, but in your conviction, don't cause your brother or sister to stumble. And it's not a call to be wishy-washy. It's not a call to have no convictions. But it's a call to how do we treat one another. It's Paul following what Jesus said when he said, they will know you are my disciples. Because of what? Because of the love you have for one another. I pray that they may be one as we are one. And so it's a call for following that and doing that and not getting so convicted. If somebody has a different view on what I believe, they're a heretic. There's a joke that came, not a joke. My preaching professor said, preachers never tell jokes. They tell anecdotes. So here's an anecdote I heard Luis Palau say, and so I have permission to say it because of that. He said, once I saw a guy on a bridge about to jump. I said, don't do it. He said, nobody loves me. I said, God loves you. Do you believe in God? He said, yes. I said, are you a Christian or a Jew? He said, I'm a Christian. He said, I said, me too. Protestant or Catholic? And he said, Protestant. I said, me too. What franchise? He said, Baptist. I said, me too. He said, Northern Baptist or Southern Baptist? And he said, Northern Baptist. I said, me too. Northern Conservative Baptist or Northern Liberal Baptist? And he said, well, Northern Conservative Baptist. He said, me too. Northern Conservative Baptist Great Lakes region or Northern Conservative Baptist Eastern Region? And he said, Northern Baptist, Great Lakes Region. He said, I said, me too. Northern Baptist, Baptist, Great Lakes Region Council of 1879, or Northern Conservative Baptist Lakes Region of 1912. He said, Northern Conservative Baptist Great Lakes Region Council of 1912. And I said, die, heretic, and I pushed him over. And sadly, in the church, we do that over and over again. So what Paul is teaching here is not a call for wishy-washiness, not a call for no conviction, not a call for no doctrine. It's a call for loving those whom God loved, who's brought into the church, and even though we may disagree with them about eating bread or about church polity, about church doctrine, we need to love them and make sure that we don't cause them to stumble in the way that we interact with each other. Let's pray. Father, I thank you again for the guidance that you've given Scripture. And help us in how we treat our brothers and sisters in Christ who differ from us. Because there's so many places where we draw the line and say, you know, this is right, this is right, this is right. I'm right, you're wrong, all over the place. And yet, we lose the love that you called us to. And I pray that you'd help us to humble ourselves as we come before you. And then demonstrate to do the things that bring about peace. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.